Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the Playoff Push podcast. And today we have the NFL recap for week four of the 2024 NFL season. We got a lot of great games this week. It was a very jam-packed week with a lot of high-scoring games, a lot of high fantasy performances. One which stood out, although barely being the highest fantasy performance, it was a great game from this player. We'll touch on that later. But welcome to week four of NFL recap. We started off on the Thursday night game. I was not touching any electronics on Thursday. I was on retreat, so I did not see this game live. I did see it afterwards, though. Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15. My Giants lose yet again. Very miserable game overall that, honestly, we should have won watching it back. Kind of embarrassing that we didn't. The running game was non-existent for the Giants. Devin Singletary, 14 carries, 24 yards. Jones, 4 carries, 3 yards. Tracy, 4 carries, 2 yards. Eric Gray, 1 carry, 1 yard. Just no gain in the rushing game at all. A total of 26 rushing yards among the entire New York Giants team. Just embarrassing. Jones wasn't too great either. 29 for 40, 281 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. Neighbors, though, still 12 receptions, 115 yards, just continuing to put numbers up in his historic rookie season 4 weeks in. Dallas put together a pretty nice game. Dak Prescott, 22 for 27, 221 yards and two touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb, 7 receptions, 98 yards, one touchdown. The other touchdown came from a passing touchdown to Rico Dowdle, 1 reception, 15 yards, and the tutty. Just overall, a very, you know, mediocre game. Kind of funny that the Cowboys interception came from Amani Orourie, who the Giants got rid of a couple years ago. So a pretty, you know, ironic thing there. But week four starts off with another Dallas Cowboys victory. Still not leading the division, though. We'll get into the division standings later. Second game, Bengals-Panthers. We get to Joe Burrow versus Andy Dalton, who had almost identical stat lines. Burrow, 22 for 31, 232 yards, two touchdowns and a pick, compared to Dalton, 25 for 40, 220 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. So a very, very similar stat line there. Rushing was great too. Chase Brown, 15 carries, 80 yards, two touchdowns. And Chuba Hubbard, 18 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. So pretty, you know, comparable teams in this game. Deontay Johnson, 7 receptions, 83 yards, and a touchdown, as well as Xavier Leggett, 6 receptions, 66 yards, and a touchdown from Andy Dalton. That would be the first touchdown of the young career of Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina, with maybe the heaviest country accent I've ever heard. But he has a really bright future ahead of him. He's going to be a very, very solid ball player for years to come. Bengals do come out on top, though, 34-24. Jamar Chase, 3 receptions, 85 yards, and a touchdown. And another passing touchdown, this one going to Zach Moss as he didn't get one on the ground. But Bengals come out on top in the second game, 34-24 over Carolina, ending Andy Dalton's Linsanity run one game in. As now we head to New Orleans, Atlanta. Atlanta barely pulls this one out, 26-24, a very tight game all throughout. Again, very similar quarterback stat lines. Derek Carr, 28 for 36, 239 yards and a pick. Kirk, 21 for 35, 238 yards and an interception. So 1 yard difference, same amount of picks, just very similar stat lines there from the quarterbacks. Again, you got to bank on it. Alvin Kamara, 19 carries, 77 yards and a touchdown on the ground, as well as 7 receptions for 42 yards in the air. Taysom Hill had 2 rushing touchdowns on 2 amazing organized runs over by the goal line. 6 carries, 24 yards, and those 2 touchdowns for Hill, although he would be injured and I believe would stay out the rest of the game. So hopefully he can recover soon enough, as that was a really good game for him. The Falcons still somehow pull this out, probably on the pick 6 from Carr being the deciding factor in the long run, but no offensive touchdowns from the Atlanta Falcons at all. So just a lot of kicking. Young Waiku, 4 field goals. And, you know, the pick 6 from Mr. Derek Carr. So Atlanta does come out on top in this one, 26-24. A very tight game there in what will probably end up being 2 of the 3 viable teams in this NFC South division that has been historically weak for quite a few years. head over to Houston and Jacksonville. Jacksonville falls to 0-4 on the year as Houston comes out on top 24-20. CJ Stroud putting up an incredible line once again. 27 for 40, 345 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. T-Law doesn't necessarily screw up the game either. 18 completions, 33 attempts, 169 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks. This Jags rushing game is really interesting. Tank Bigsby, 7 carries, 90 yards. Etienne, 11 carries, 50 yards. So 140 total yards on the ground from their top two halfbacks. No rushing touchdowns and still ball to Houston. Two receiving touchdowns. One came from Brian Thomas. The other from Christian Kirk finally getting his flowers. Kirk, 7 receptions, 61 yards and a touchdown, while Thomas gets 6 receptions, 86 yards and a touchdown. Brenton Strange and the rest of the offense was very shut down the entire rest of the game. So it was really the Thomas and Kirk show when it comes to the passing game from T-Law. Nico Collins doing what he does best, which is ball. 12 receptions, 151 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Nico having a historic season already 4 weeks in. But when my dad said that he didn't think Nico was going to be that good out of the draft, he could not have been more wrong. Nico has, in terms of yardage, 117, 135, 86, and 151 to pair with two touchdowns this year. He's dropped ridiculous fantasy numbers, 17, 27, 12, and 33. Just putting together great performances week after week. I believe currently sitting at the wide receiver two slot in fantasy. So pretty great there. As Houston will come out on top 24-20 in a pretty close game that should not have been that close. Then we head over to maybe the worst game I've ever seen. Broncos-Jets, an absolute disaster of a game. Broncos come out on top 10-9 in the rain in MetLife. Just an embarrassment of a game. Bo Nix, 12 for 25, 60 yards passing. The winning quarterback had 60 yards passing in a game without snow. Let that sink through your head real quick. Anyway, 12 for 25, 60 yards and a passing touchdown. The first of his career to Cortland Sutton, who had 3 receptions for 60 yards. So if you were to take Cortland Sutton out of the picture, Bo Nix would have 0 net passing yards, which is kind of crazy. But that's just how the Broncos roll, I guess. Javonte Williams, 16 carries, 77 yards. Jaleel McLaughlin, 9 carries, 46 yards. And this was really just a war of who could be the worst team. Rodgers, 24 for 42, 225 yards. The Jets' rushing game was shut down. Breece Hall had 4 yards on 10 carries. Just nothing good offensively from either team. And it really came down to field goals as Will Lutz missed a huge field goal to do some good there. And then Zuerlein missed one of his own. So back-to-back missed kicks that could have really changed the pace of the game. So Broncos come out on top 10-9 in an absolute disaster game. Please do not watch it. You will want to never watch football again. It's a disaster. Anyway, we're heading over to a great game, Minnesota-Green Bay. And believe it or not, the Sam Darnold Linsanity run is still continuing. 31-29 Vikings win over the now 2-2 Green Bay Packers. The Vikings will continue on their rampage and go to 4-0. Sam Darnold, 20 for 28, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick, compared to Jordan Love's 32 for 54 attempts, 389 yards, 4 touchdowns and 3 picks. Jordan Love just airing the ball out whenever he gets a shot. 54 attempts is absolutely ridiculous, but it's nothing new for Jordan Love. He loves taking as many attempts as he can, showing it in this game. Aaron Jones, 22 carries, 93 yards, 4.2 in his return to Lambeau. Did another Lambeau leap after scoring his... Correct. No, my fault. He did not score. That was to end the game. But yes, he did do another Lambeau leap just to, you know, commemorate his legendary career up there in Green Bay. The touchdowns were scored 2 by Addison, 1 by Jefferson, and 1 by Josh Oliver. That makes much more sense. Addison recovering with such a huge game, 1 carry, 7 yards, 1 touchdown rushing, 3 receptions, 72 yards, 1 touchdown receiving. Jefferson, 6 receptions, 85 yards, and a touchdown through the air. And Josh Oliver gets his touchdown, 2 receptions, 10 yards, and 1 tutty. Byron Murphy gets a pick. Shaquille Griffin gets a pick. Kamu Grugier-Hill gets a pick. It just seemed like the Vikings defense was snagging balls from Jordan Love the entire game. And that ultimately came back to bite Green Bay, as if Jordan Love had maybe saved one of those picks and be able to lead a field goal drive, believe it or not, that's a 32-31 final score in favor of Green Bay. So even one of those picks being turned into a field goal wins the game for the Packers. But unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, the Vikings continue. They head to 4-0 as Green Bay falls to 2-2. Back to another weird game, Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. The Colts come out on top 27-24, handing Pittsburgh their first loss of the year, despite Anthony Richardson, believe it or not, getting injured. He only threw four attempts, three of them completed for 71 yards before he got injured sliding. It was a hip injury, and he did not return to the game, was ruled out pretty quickly. So Joe Flacco had to come in and lead the charge. 16 for 26, 168 yards, and two touchdowns through the air, throwing dimes to Pittman, who finally had a solid game. Six receptions, 113 yards. Josh Downs, eight receptions, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor had a great game, 21 carries, 88 yards, 4.2 average, and a touchdown. Also added three receptions for 20 yards. And the other touchdown went to Andrew Ogletree, one reception, 15 yards, and the said touchdown. So the Colts putting up a pretty, you know, pretty all right offensive game. But what it really came down to was Pittsburgh. This was the Justin Fields show. 22 completions, 34 attempts, 312 yards, and a touchdown, as well as 10 carries, 55 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. So Fields responsible for all three Pittsburgh touchdowns. Of course, Boswell responsible for the field goal. But all that Justin Fields hype just couldn't end up working. Pickens, seven receptions, 113 yards. Freiermuth, five receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. But it still wasn't enough, as three touchdowns is not enough to beat Joe Flacco in 2024. We are now moving over to Rams-Bears, a game which I actually didn't think would be this good. You know, DeAndre Swift starting out slow to begin the year. Believe it or not, both the leading receiver and rusher for the Bears in this game. Swift, 16 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown on the ground, as well as seven receptions, 72 yards in the air. Next up was Cole Kmet, three receptions, 34 yards. DJ Moore, three receptions, 22 yards. And another rushing touchdown went to Rashawn Johnson, seven carries, 26 yards, and the touchdown. So a very dominant game from Caleb Williams, just being able to get the ball to Swift and being able to hand it off to Swift. So Caleb finally getting a good win with a lot of help from DeAndre Swift. Jaquan Brisker had an incredible pick. I love Penn State, and I love me some Brisker. So that was a great play to watch. Stafford slowly choked this game, 20 for 29, 224 yards, and a pick. Kyren did his thing on the ground, averaging five per carry with a touchdown. But it really was a very slow offensive game from the Rams. Never really got anything going and just failed to compete. As you can tell from losing to the Bears, that's about all you need to know. But the Bears come out on top in that one, 24-18. And now heading into Philly and Tampa Bay, a game that, you know, you'd probably expect Tampa to win due to the fact that wide receiver one, wide receiver two, and wide receiver three were all down for Philly. Brown, Smith, and Dotson was out for the majority of the game as well, were gone for Philadelphia. Tampa takes it 33-16. Baker Mayfield putting up another stellar line, 30 for 47, 347 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, as well as two rushing touchdowns, one from Bucky Irving and one from the rush master Baker Mayfield himself. Mayfield, four carries, 10 yards in the touchdown, while Irving had 10 carries for 49 yards in the touchdown. Rashad White, 10 carries for 49 yards. So the same amount of carries, same amount of yards, except Bucky Irving was the running back that got the touchdown for Tampa Bay. Mike Evans breaks out this game. Eight receptions, 94 yards, and a touchdown. Godwin does his thing once again. Six receptions, 69 yards. Cade Otton putting up six receptions for 52 yards. Sterling Shepard getting nice receptions. Trey Palmer catching a touchdown. This was a great game for Tampa. It may not look like it, you know, just purely from the box score, as they went 14, 10, 6, 3 in terms of scoring by quarter. But it was a very, very good offensive game for Tampa, just being able to hold the ball down, take a lot of clock with them, and get the ball to guys who, may not have expected to see the ball. Bucky Irving, Trey Palmer, Sterling Shepard, Cade Otton, just being able to spread the ball around on an Eagles defense that we think is looking pretty solid. Reed Blankenship was taken out at some point in the game. I'm unsure as to whether he returned, but Blankenship was taken out at a point. Heading over to San Fran and New England, Brock Purdy and Jacoby Brissett putting up kind of similar stat lines, both having a touchdown and a pick, except Brissett had 168 yards, Purdy had 288 yards, and Purdy had four less completions. Very interesting stat line when you look at that. Neither rushing game, I take that back. The Patriots' rushing game was horrendous. Ramondre, 3.3 average on 13 carries. And I meant to say, besides Mason was great. 24 carries, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Jordan Mason's really taken over this McCaffrey role. And now, with it being revealed that McCaffrey has, I believe, Achilles tendonitis in both legs, means he will be out for a while. So it's looking like this is Jordan Mason's team for a good bit. And the ball was spread around amazingly on the receiving core. Three receptions for Jennings, three receptions for Debo, two for Ayuk, four for Kittle, all of them getting over 40 yards. 88 for Jennings, 58 for Samuel, 48 for Ayuk, 45 for Kittle. Kittle catching the receiving touchdown from Purdy. And just spreading the ball around, which is very good to see from this Niners offense, knowing how many weapons they have and just being able to make anything work is great to see. The one touchdown for Brissett did go to Austin Hooper. No one really cares. Patriots aren't great, and that's that. So San Fran does win that one 30-13. Heading over to the Jaden Daniels show. This man is unreal. I drafted this dude late in my fantasy league, and I was just hoping that he'd be a solid backup quarterback. Now he's quarterback three, and I'm starting him over my original starting quarterback in Anthony Richardson as he's been playing garbage and he's hurt now. Daniels, 26 for 30, 233 yards, a touchdown and a pick, as well as eight carries for 47 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And believe it or not, that was only one of four rushing touchdowns for the Commanders in this game. Brian Robinson, 21 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown. And Jeremy McNichols, eight carries, 68 yards, two touchdowns. McNichols has come out of nowhere. Just came right onto the scene to dominate here in this Washington offense. He's just been able to put the ball in the end zone, only having three seasons in his career over 50 rushing yards, 2020 with Tennessee, 2021 with Tennessee, and now with this Washington season. Just a guy who you don't expect to make anything happen comes out and makes stuff happen. So four rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown in this game. That one passing touchdown was to McLaurin, seven receptions, 52 yards, and the touchdown. Olamide Zaccheaus, six receptions, 85 yards, an average of 14.2 per catch. And Kyler was pretty silenced the whole game. 16 for 22, 142 yards and a touchdown, no picks through the air. Marvin Harrison, five receptions, 45 yards, and the touchdown from Kyler. James Conner, 18 carries, 104 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So when you look at the stats, it doesn't look like an awful performance from Arizona, but it really was. They were not able to get the ball where they needed to. They were able to get it, in that 50-yard line to 20-yard line range, but we're just never able to make anything happen at all. Matt Prater didn't even get a shot to kick a field goal, so not too great there for Arizona. But I still have faith in them. I still think they can be a pretty all right team if they just work together. Marvin Harrison's too good of a player to not give them any shot. KC and the Chargers, you would guess it if you had your eyes closed. Kansas City moves up to 4-0 with a 17-10 win. But the big issue here is Patrick Mahomes tearing Rashee Rice's ACL. You heard me right. Look at the clip or don't. I would not blame you either way. But Rashee Rice is now rumored to be out for the year with a torn ACL, which is absolutely brutal. The clear number one wide receiver in that Chiefs offense. Now the ball will be handed to Xavier Worthy much more often, who had three receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown on an absolute deep bomb over the middle from Mahomes. A gorgeous ball that Worthy was just able to get his hands under, slide into the end zone. Just a great catch overall. Kelce finally had a solid game. 7 receptions, 89 yards. The leading rusher was Kareem Hunt. I know, crazy, right? Anyway, Samaje Perine, 5 carries, 14 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. So overall, a pretty mediocre offensive game from Patrick Mahomes, still being able to take the win. The one receiving touchdown from Justin Herbert came from Ladd McConkey, 5 receptions, 67 yards, and the touchdown. Other than that, the Chargers' offense was silenced. Ladd McConkey was the only upside there. Chiefs come out on top, 17-10. Hopping into another game, Cleveland and Vegas. Vegas comes out on top 20-16 over Deshaun Watson's disaster class yet again. 24 for 32, 176 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Just not being able to get the offense going. You know it's bad when you have one passing touchdown, and that passing touchdown is to a dude named Blake Whitehart. That's how you know you're running really low on your offense, and when you're letting Gardner Minshew beat you without a single passing touchdown. A lot of rushers here for Vegas. They had 7 different players rush the ball in this week. Alexander Mattison, Zamir White, DJ Turner, tight end Brock Bowers, Tyreek McAllister, Trey Tucker, and Gardner Minshew all getting at least one carry in this game. Zamir getting 17, Madison getting 5, McAllister getting 2, Minshew getting 2, everyone else getting 1 carry. It wasn't even bad. Brock Bowers, rookie tight end, getting 12 yards on his 1 carry. Not even awful, if I'm being quite honest with you. But this game was a disaster. Don't watch it ever. Don't subject yourself to that. It should be used as psychological torture. Next game, and here's where it gets fun. Baltimore beats Buffalo 35-10. This is what happens when Buffalo finally plays a great contender. Lamar, 13 for 18, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They even threw Josh Johnson in there, because why not? 1 completion, 1 attempt, 1 yard. That's all you need from your backup journeyman quarterback. But this game was the Derrick Henry show. 24 carries, 199 yards, and a rushing touchdown. 3 receptions, 10 yards, and a receiving touchdown, as well as the 3rd longest rushing touchdown of Henry's career, I believe an 86-yard rush to score. So the Derrick Henry game, I needed him to clutch up for me in one of my fantasy leagues, and boy, did he ever. Depending on your league, he could drop anywhere from 30 to 50 in this week. So that's up to your league's rules, but wow, what a week it was from Derrick Henry. Josh Allen was relatively shut down. 6 for 29, 180 yards, nothing else. They threw Mitch Trubisky in for a minute. Running game was shut down. They had 1 rushing touchdown. It was from 1 carry for 3 yards from Ty Johnson. James Cook had 9 carries for 39 yards, and that was it. 1 reception for 9 yards too. Cook, who had a huge dominant week a couple weeks ago, was absolutely sliced and diced from the neck. Baltimore's defense not letting anything up. Khalil Shakir, 4 receptions, 62 yards. Keon Coleman, 3 receptions, 51 yards. Kincaid, 5 receptions, 47 yards. Still never able to get anything going. Buffalo falls to Baltimore. And we are currently still in both of the Monday night games. Tennessee is currently up 19-6 on Miami. Mason Rudolph is now playing quarterback for Tennessee. So that's great. 9 for 15, 85 yards so far. I assume Levis was benched after the pick. I'm not actually watching the game as I'm recording this episode, so I believe that Levis was probably benched for Rudolph. Pollard, 14 carries, 77 yards. Tyjae Spears, 12 carries, 36 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Nuke kept relatively in check. 2 receptions, 31 yards. Same stat line as Tyler Boyd. And Miami is a disaster. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. We're not even going to talk about it. And then we get to Detroit and Seattle, the final game for week 4. Jared Goff in the first half of this game looking like 12 for 12 for 92 yards, and that is it. 3 rushing touchdowns from the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs, 8 carries, 46 yards, 2 touchdowns. Montgomery, 8 carries, 42 yards, and 1 touchdown. Amon-Ra held pretty close, 5 receptions, 37 yards. Laporta, 3 receptions, 23 yards. That's really it. Another boring game. Geno Smith, 20 for 28, 185 yards. Kenny Walker with a rushing touchdown. But again, just a very boring game so far. The Lions are running the ball down the Seahawks' throats, and that's about all there is to it. So those are your recaps for your NFL Week 4 performances. Now it's time to get into the fantasy performances. I know, everyone's favorite segment.
as we get to the top 10 players from this week. Jordan Mason just barely misses the cut at 24 points flat. Jaden Daniels slightly beats him out for the 10th spot at 24.02. Dave, this is a guy you don't expect to be on here. Dontavian Wicks, wide receiver for Green Bay, 24.8 points on a stellar game from a guy who you might not think of when you think of that Green Bay receiver core, because they have a pretty deep core when you really look at it. They have, you know, guys such as Christian Watson, who's currently hurt, but we all know he's a great, great ball player. And then we head over to some other receivers they got: Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Luke Musgrave, who's a tight end, but I know. They have so many guys, and the one guy that dominated this week was Dontavian Wicks. I didn't even tell you his stat line. 5 receptions, 78 yards, and 2 touchdowns through the air. So he slides in at the 9. The 8th spot, you guessed it, Alvin Kamara, 24.9. The 7th slot, another Green Bay guy, Jaden Reed. I said Jalen Reed. I don't know why I keep saying Jalen Reed. 27.1 fantasy points there, and would you believe it or not? Jordan Love in the 6th. 3 Green Bay players, 9, 7, and 6 in the fantasy rankings this week. Love coming in at 28.16. The 5 slot goes to Baker Mayfield. 28.88 fantasy points for Baker Mayfield. The 4 is DeAndre Swift coming in at 29.5. Fields scores 31.98 for Justin Fields in the 3 slot. Number 2 is Nico Collins at 33.1. You guessed who the one slot is. It's Derrick Henry coming in at 35.9 fantasy points in standard PPR on ESPN. And that is what we're looking at for week 4 of this NFL season. Just a great week overall. A few duds, as the Broncos game was a disaster and the Raiders game was a disaster, but a lot of really great games. That Baltimore game was still super fun despite it being a blowout. I would watch that Green Bay Minnesota game over and over and over again if I could. Oh, absolutely amazing game. And we will see how these 2 Monday night games close out. Got a great episode for you tomorrow with MLB legend Mr. Curtis Granderson. So you will see that tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern. And that's going to be it for this NFL recap, week 4 of the 2024 NFL season. I would like to thank you all for the support and thank you for listening once again. Make sure to share the podcast. Get the word out there. Playoff Push Podcast on the come up. Thank you all for listening and have a great rest of your day.